This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
There's a new kid in town, and it's called QTV, Queer TV. Some of our segments will appear on QTV, which is very exciting. Have you watched it yet, Macca?
I have, and despite that, you know, we may not entirely frighten people away.
Meaning that my nose doesn't get a side look?
Well, as long as not a pan shot, we'll be right.
Thank you for that. Okay, now moving right along, it's time for our...
So hang on, where do people see it?
Oh, you can watch it on Channel 31.
Channel 31.
On Friday nights at 9 p.m, or you can actually go online and stream it.
Yeah, which they drop down to...
It's a YouTube channel.
They go onto YouTube.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Mm. So
it's filled in this studio, some of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the camera's right there.
I know. Thank God it's not. It's looking...
Moving
you,
right
looking
along.
Looking at you straight, although you're turning your head a bit. I know, you're probably blocking out the window.
I want to face my guest. And the guest in the studio is the one and only effervescent, Matthew Wade, editor of Star Observer. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you going?
We're good.
It's amazing that you've got the camera in here. Have you ever filmed segments in here before? Is this the first time?
No, we
have.
It happens all the time, and I'm very self-conscious because I don't like the way I look.
And we're very worried that Bill Calder's got an unbelievable amount of blackmail material. You know, because during a break, if the camera's still on and, you know, Paul and Tass are being inappropriate, it's on.
That's unlikely. It's more likely to be you, Macca. Now, Matt, there's so much happening. I mean, I know we say this every time you're in the studio, but there is a lot happening at the moment.
Definitely. I mean, and particularly, I mean, aside from obviously the events of yesterday, I mean, more broad generally, I mean, we're coming up in New South Wales to a state election and then a bit further down the track, a federal election. So particularly in politics, there's a lot going on that I imagine many people in the community are looking out for.
What are the hot political issues that are coming up for both elections, but more so the federal election, really, that relate to our community?
Yeah, I guess in terms of the federal election, I mean, obviously, as we get closer and closer to the whatever date it may be, likely by May.
18th of May is the date.
Oh, it is officially the
18th. Well, not officially, but I can't see when else it can be.
Yeah. Obviously, the major political parties are going to kind of put forward what their plans are in the LGBTI realm, including Liberal, hopefully. But the Greens, a couple of days ago, released their policy platform specifically in relation to LGBTIQ people, which was quite interesting. It deviated a bit from, I guess, where Labor has stood or even the states have stood in regards to these issues previously. So, for example, conversion therapy, we saw obviously around Pride March this year that Dan Andrews said that Victoria would ban it, whereas the Greens have kind of come forward and said that banning just kind of drives practices like that underground and won't necessarily eradicate it. So I guess they're hoping to push for more broadly the eradication of exemptions and in relation to anti-discrimination when it comes to religious institutions and bodies to help try to like fix it that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but not really.
It's actually another issue.
I know, you're right. It bleeds into the religious exemption thing, which is something separate again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, like if you ban it, right, and it becomes illegal to do it, that's good. You do it, you go to jail.
Yeah.
Right? Let's deal with the exemptions in legislation that allow some institutions to discriminate. It's got, you know, and those institutions might be advocates for conversion therapy, but they're actually separate issues. And the Greens need to realise, you know, I know their heart's in the right place, but, you know, sometimes I think the watermelon doesn't have any seeds.
Well, another interesting thing that I drew out from the policies was, I guess, they're hoping to, I guess, get rid of religious chaplains in public schools specifically. You know, as we saw last year, I think it was in the federal budget, there was $247 million allocated over 4 years to kind of really instate religious chaplaincy program, which kind of effectively replaced the Safe Schools program. And the Greens are saying, look, this is not going to help people's mental health, whether they're LGBTIQ or not. So I guess they want to eradicate religious chaplains from public schools and help to push for something like Safe Schools, which is a lot more beneficial for the mental health of young people, which we, a lot of people, our readers online, have, we're kind of honed in on that and we're focusing on that and saying they thought it was a good idea.
But, I mean, is it a question of either or? I mean, isn't there room for both? I mean, isn't there... I mean, in Victoria, for example, Safe Schools are mandatory now.
Mm.
And chaplaincy program, well, it's mandatory in that all schools must actually have a Safe Schools program, but there are choices and levels of engagement that families can have with a whole range of activities. And I would say that the same applies to the chaplaincy program.
That's true as well. I get the impression that it's kind of going against specifically what was allocated in the budget last year. So rather than kind of working with it, they're like, no, we want to reject that completely, because, I mean, that was quite a big, a substantial amount of money being channeled into that to pretty much replace Safe Schools. So, I mean, I don't want to speak on behalf of them, but I got the impression that they're kind of pushing against that by saying, no, we don't want that at all, specifically in public schools, and that things like Safe Schools are a lot more beneficial.
And I understood that in Victoria, chaplaincy services could be provided they were on a welfare basis and didn't actually impinge on teaching time. So, I mean, what's wrong with having a chaplain available for those people who want to have a chaplaincy service or whatever that might look like?
No, that's
true. Well, it depends whether it's a counselling service, fine. If it's actually to advocate for a particular belief, no. No.
And I would agree with those.
So, you know, how you define it and how it's put into practice is what's important.
And I would agree with that. But, I mean, if there were a whole range of faith-based leaders who made themselves available in a range of school settings to provide faith education, specific faith-based education.
Inclusive education. That's not, yeah, obviously, like you're saying, David, peddling a kind of very exclusive idea of what it means to follow religion.
You know, and, you know, that, you know, $247 million is a lot of money. But over a budget period, it's actually not that significant. It's a rounding error. But don't forget, the people that have proposed this, they have a particular agenda.
Of course they do.
And it's not like, oh, yes, we'll just, you know, allow, you know.
Of course they do.
They have a particular agenda, and I don't agree with it, and I don't accept it. And as a taxpayer, a substantial taxpayer, I don't support it. Mm. I don't want my money being used to teach nonsense and crap to young kids and older kids. Yeah, I don't accept that. Like, it's not on.
So schools seem to be a bit of a platform for, you know, politicians to engage with around LGBTI issues.
And look at the numbers yesterday at the strike.
150,000 kids went on strike.
Yeah, that's why. That's where, you know, the future voters are coming from. And, you know, we know younger members of our community, they influence us, but younger members of families also, they influence the way that their parents vote.
Oh, of course, yeah, no, it's politically motivated. I get why that politicians will be reaching out to that demographic in particular, or addressing it at least, yeah. But the issue of religious exemptions and kind of religion as it applies to young people, I guess, obviously has been a hot-button topic for a long time, but specifically it was fired up late last year with the Religious Freedoms Review and all that, so yes.
That seems to have fizzled. Like, what's happened to that?
Yeah, it's interesting because...
Wait till the election's called. Oh.
Yeah,
don't you reckon?
Yeah, no, it's true. It's definitely going to wait until after the election's done. I mean, it's just... I know Scott Morrison made a pledge at the end of last year, like, we're going to deal with it by 2018, specifically around students in faith-based schools, but yeah, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, but he didn't mean that.
Yeah, I know.
He didn't mean that.
I want to sort of move away from the sort of election cycle into some of the sort of, you know, hot issues that are occurring. So somebody who's not really a friend of our community but sort of aligned to our community is Milo Yiannopoulos.
Ah, yes.
So what's going on there? And why is this controversial?
It's perhaps even more controversial in light of the news yesterday, but the plan was for him to come to Australia to tour. And initially, he was denied a visa entry by the Department of Home Affairs, and they recommended that he be denied a visa on his character grounds because, I guess, previously he's promulgated quite hateful speech around.
He's been here before, though.
He has, yes. But I guess I don't know what changed this time. I mean, he's probably said a lot more things in the space of time between then and now. Anyway, so he was denied the visa on that basis. However, the Minister for Immigration, David Coleman, has overridden that and ignored that advice. And so now he will be allowed to tour Australia still, which a lot of people have criticised, including Senator Penny Wong and obviously many advocacy groups because, he's been linked to white supremacists. You know, he's even within our own community. I mean, he's a self-identifying gay man, but he's, you know, said a lot of transphobic things in the past. He's been anti like marriage equality, even though he's married, I believe. Like it's strange. So, but yeah, the point was that it kind of did a bit of a flip around where initially he had been denied a visa to come here, but now David Coleman has overridden that and is allowing him to come.
So he's on the speaking circuit, but what's he got to say? What's his message?
Vile bile.
Yes.
That's it.
There's a cohort of people in that alt-right kind of area that kind of all seem to have the same speaking notes because they all talk about the same crap, you know, and he's one of them. It's a shame for our community because I guess he's out there as a gay man kind of, you know.
But, you know, he bases most of what he says on falsehoods. He makes up the statistics. He makes up issues that don't exist. And what it is a white supremacist argument.
Mm.
And, you know, he's a gay man, but, you know, that is not what defines him. What defines him is his ideas and his hate. And, you know, people like Blair Cottrell and others, they'd love what he's saying, but then they go, oh, but he's gay. Oh, well, we won't worry about that.
Yeah,
you know, we won't actually tell.
It's full of contradictions, isn't it? Yeah. It's what I don't get.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like even people. I mean, I don't.
It's like a grammar scrabble with half the letters missing. That's what he is.
But it's people in that cohort, like the Lauren Southern, who also came to Australia recently. I know a lot of people kind of are suggesting that these people that are kind of have these ideological views that are very backward and wrong, they're kind of choosing Australia to come to because they actually feel like, and I think they've said this as well, they see Australia as being somewhere that is accepting or there's definitely an audience for those kind of views here specifically as opposed to their home country in US or wherever it may be, which is actually frightening. I mean, we saw yesterday, obviously, but it just shows that, you know, there is actually this perception that there are a lot of people here in Australia that I guess would be open to...
And don't forget, Milo was a defender of pedophilia.
Pedophilia or cross-age
It was relationships with young and older, but...
Sorry, having sex with someone under the legal age when you're an adult is pedophilia. End of story.
Mm.
You can define it in some other way. Mm. You can dress it up as cross-age. It's pedophilia. He is a promoter and a protector of kiddie fiddlers.
And does he have support in our community?
Oh, not in... Well, I mean, again, I get to see a slice of it through our readership, but I would say that 100% of the engagement on our stories around Milo are negative. So
the IPA lobby, is that the Institute of Pedophilia Affairs?
But it's interesting you raise that, David, because that's what Penny Wong specifically pointed out. I mean, she mentioned obviously that he's said a lot of other heinous things, but specifically around relationships with older and younger men, she pointed that as one of the main reasons why he shouldn't be allowed to tour and get money.
If you don't like that, the IPA...
Mm.
Come in and tell us why I was wrong.
I did hear, I'm going back to Milo Yiannopoulos, I did hear not too long ago an argument that some young men actually enjoyed listening to him because they thought he was just an interrupter.
Right.
And I then found it hard to continue to have a conversation with these people because I thought, you know, what are you really saying? What are you really believing? Like, what's going on here? And I think that there's clearly he's charismatic, clearly he's engaging, and clearly he's actually got some followers. But I don't know that they actually have thought it through.
Well, it's like the group in America, like the Twinks for Trump. Like, you
I know.
Well, what's that about?
I know, Twinks for Trump. I followed
what's
that for a while,
about?
And I thought, my God.
It's ridiculous. And you just think, I mean, to us it seems so ridiculous. And we're like, how could you possibly align yourself with views of someone who not only is quite questionable in the LGBTI space, but more broadly in relation to women, in relation to race and all this other kind of stuff. And I guess I'm not like a psychologist, but I guess part of the reason I feel that maybe people lean towards that and maybe Milo's views as well is at the moment, in a good way, I guess, all these marginalized intersectional identities are getting more of a platform.
Mm.
And so the idea of identity politics, which has kind of changed over the years, but the idea of identity politics has come to the fore. And so some, I guess, maybe white cisgendered men who previously felt that, you know, they had a certain level of entitlement and power over other people are starting to get that stripped away. And so I feel like in that anxiety, or with that anxiety or fear, they're kind of moving towards somebody like Milo, who, like you said, feels to them like someone who's disrupting all of that and cutting through it all and being like a truth teller, even though he's obviously not. But yeah, you know,
if they want to be a disruptor,
One of our listeners, 317, hello, 317.
Stick your tongue in a PowerPoint.
317 says that the IPA lobbied for him to come to Australia,
right?
And then goes on to describe him as being, and I'm quoting here, he's a piece of shit.
There we go. There's twinks for Trump. Look at them.
Oh, spare me. So, Matt, what else is happening? What else do you have to report on?
What's another one? Okay, so one interesting thing was, I guess, obviously most people were tuned in during the week to the sentencing of George Pell.
Yes.
And I guess in following the sentence, Roz Ward, who many people will be familiar with as one of the co-founders of Safe Schools, penned a piece for, I think, the Socialist Alliance, basically criticising a lot of conservative commentators who basically destroyed Safe Schools while that debate was going on, but then at this current stage are now defending George Pell. So, for example, Miranda Devine, Andrew Bolt, I think she said, you know, while the...
It was a diversion by the Chief Commissioner of Police in Victoria to divert us from thinking about African gangs.
Who said that?
Miranda Devine. That's paraphrasing what she said.
Oh, you're not serious.
Well, I'm serious. She's not.
Yeah. But the thing is, these people, like the Mirandas and the Andrews, like they accused Roz Ward, funnily enough, at the time during the Safe Schools debacle, of sexualizing children, quote unquote. And yet George Pell, who has literally been sentenced to,
He sexualized them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, but they're so quick to be like, when it doesn't align with how their view of what they see as being, you know, their ideological perception of the world, like they just, I don't know how they convince themselves that they're right when they're saying things, like defending somebody like George Pell. It's just nuts.
We are going to talk more about the whole George Pell thing. I know Macca did a piece last week.
George Pell is as guilty as hell, and that's where he's going.
But we are going to talk. We are going to talk more about it. We discuss this outside, and we'll do it as we get closer to the appeal.
Of course.
So once the appeal
is... If you're listening, George, 23 hours a day in solitary.
I don't think he'll be listening, Dale.
I don't know.
Solitary, I don't think you get access to anything.
Don't you?
What else, Matt?
I guess a local thing in Victoria is Martin Foley, the Minister for Equality, announced during the week that, another spate of funding for LGBTI initiatives. One of them in particular was around conversion therapy, on the heels of, obviously, Dan Andrews' announcement that they were going to ban it. So $145,000 is going to go towards a project that the Victorian government will undertake, I guess, in conjunction with conversion therapy survivors, that will specifically, I guess, try to address and find ways that conversion therapy survivors can be better supported through peer support, which I think is great. I mean, it's only a small amount of funding. $145,000 isn't a massive, but I mean, if the project goes somewhere towards, I guess, as a stepping stone towards actually planting support services or peer support services for people that have gone through it, I think that's great. I think someone also mentioned during the news bulletin earlier, as part of the other funding went towards MQFF, so $50,000. Yes. MQF got to do a regional tour, I think, in Shepparton, and they announced it opening night, which is great.
That's great.
Globe got $50,000. Rainbow Families Victoria got $25,000, which is great.
They're all great initiatives. I mean, they're all initiatives that are designed to provide infrastructure and support to our, community organisations.
Now, we had Twinks for Trump. a listener has tweeted, "Bottoms for Bill."
That's good. I feel like I saw someone wearing something like that when it was like, maybe it was one of the marriage equality rallies or something like that. That was, that's good. I like that.
Yeah. Bottoms for Bill. There you go.
So there's always a lot happening in your patch. Are there any other stories that you want to report on?
I guess one interesting thing was, obviously it was International Women's Day about a week ago now, but what some people might not be aware of is, I think the day after International Women's Day is International Day of Women Living with HIV.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's actually an interesting kind of day to kind of highlight some of the statistics. So I guess often, and understandably, because historically it's been very dominated by, I guess, gay and bisexual men, or men who have sex with men. But currently in Australia, there's over 3,000 women living with HIV right now.
Yes.
And actually, women are at risk of late diagnosis and underdiagnosis of HIV in Australia. And also the transmission rates in women have remained the same. Whereas, I guess, with gay and bisexual men, with PrEP and advances in treatment and all this kind of stuff, we started to see the rates decline. But with with women, it's remained stagnant. So I guess that day like that, they started this campaign calling Leave No One Behind, and people just took photos with like a red ribbon on their face. But it was a way to kind of highlight that there are women in Australia living with HIV as well. As much as we've seen so many advancements in treatments and all this and protection, their transmission rates are still remaining the same. So that's obviously something that needs to be tackled as well.
Now, there's a message there, Tess, from a listener.
Don't assume that all gay people are left-leaning. I think you'd be surprised that there would be many who would be very much to the right when it comes to attitudes towards Muslims, trans, etc., etc. That's
correct.
A message from John.
And I agree.
I think you're right. I mean, we're a diverse community.
Diverse community, and stupidity exists everywhere.
Well, I see it. I mean, honestly, like anytime we've posted stories around anything to do with transgender people, people of colour, even the Muslim community as well, which we've covered, there's invariably a handful of gay men that have negative things to say.
This is not about you need to be of the left or of the right. You actually need to be logical. Have opinions that are based on facts. Mm. You're entitled to your opinion, absolutely. But an opinion that marginalises people, not on their deeds, but on how you perceive them to be, on their race, their religion or whatever, that is not sensible. And that's why if you do that, you are stupid.
Mass, thank you for your time this morning.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
We love having you as a regular. It's always good fun.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work and keep the news flowing.
And likewise. Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Pleasure.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.